That matters.
Live from the DraftKings Sportsbook and Wild Rose Studio, this is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM. The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by Nick Mick. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Condon, welcome back. Hour number 2, 5 minutes after the hour of 11 on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 on the FM dial. We take you until noon. CJ Moore coming up here in about 20 minutes from The Athletic. We will go inside the bracket with CJ Moore. Look forward to catching up with him. Look forward right now to with our friend Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. As we can read all about Iowa State, Michael joins us with the very latest on basketball. Their pro day is today. Did you say, Trent, or coming up?
Yeah, it's coming up. I think it was today. I saw the tweet come across yesterday.
Gotcha. Well, maybe Michael knows. Michael, Trent, and Ken, as always, we appreciate you coming on the program. How are you?
I'm doing great, yeah. Thank you guys for having me on. And Trent, you are right. Today's the day for the pro day.
And it can't be a very long roster, right? Everybody's coming back, for crying out loud. Jaquan Bailey, who am I missing?
You've got Landon Akers going to be there.
Yep.
And Anu Wongu. Sainer and Lawrence White. You've actually got about as many guys from last year's team as you do from this 2020 team. You know, Jamal Johnson is back, Marcel Spears, Deshaunte Jones, Braxton Lewis, Amici Walker's back too. So there's a good group of kind of past Cyclones that are back because they obviously didn't get their pro day last year because of the pandemic and everything being shut down with the NFL draft as well. So really good opportunity for a lot of these Cyclones to kind of make a name for themselves with the NFL draft, you know, just around the corner.
No, you're right. And I get the four that could have come back but chose to move on. I mean, Jaquan played. Bailey had a heck of a role. Sack leader at the school. Lawrence White, I thought he had a really nice career. He's going to be missed. Dylan Sainer, I know he doesn't get the pub of the other two tight ends, but he had a significant impact in a blocking role. And more than that, he caught the ball in his final year, too. And Akers has some speed. So more extensive list than I thought. Michael, thank you for updating us on that. And a lot of kids coming back, as you mentioned. Spears, one of them that had a terrific career and I think kind of got overshadowed by the rest of that linebacking core. But anyways, he'll get his chance to shine before the scouts here today. So let's go to TJ Otzelberger. And we're starting to see a couple of kids hit the transfer portal. We're seeing one. Well, help us out with the recruit who thought he was coming to Iowa State. Nunn, I believe, is his last name, right? But didn't actually sign at Iowa State. He says that he's no longer committed to Iowa State because he didn't get a phone call from any of the new members of the coaching staff. I have no problem with Otzelberger wanting to move on. Probably should have reached out and told him personally. But that aside, there's going to be some opportunities here as far as this roster. There's going to be changeover, Michael.
Definitely. And starting with Jaden Nunn, you know, it is an interesting situation because he was one that has an Iowa State connection through his relationship with Monte Morris. They are both Flint, Michigan natives. They've known each other for a long time. And Monte, I think, not a big role, but they talked about Iowa State plenty of times before he committed. And so Jaden committed back on Christmas Eve. I still remember. Yeah, Christmas Eve. And then so the way his signing period works, you got the early signing period in November. The next signing period doesn't open until April, so he didn't have an opportunity to kind of bind to Iowa State with that national letter of intent. So he was kind of free to decommit if he chose, and he did. He said he did not hear from TJ Otzelberger, and I think that was probably a big reason why. And I think it's an interesting decision, you know, first and foremost, because, of course, he is someone that is committed, but also because, you know, TJ had to commit from his same team. You know, Jaden Nunn is teammates with Kaluma from, you know, who was committed to UNLV TJ there. So it's just an interesting, I guess, decision, and maybe there's consequences there too if, you know, Kaluma is a target for TJ Otzelberger. I've not, you know, gotten that confirmed 100% if you know, that's someone that Iowa State is going after right now. But yeah, you are right. The roster really is in flux right now, and it's going to be a really interesting next week, 2 weeks to a month in terms of how this roster shakes out.
Danielle Robinson, a longtime assistant now. Him and TJ were on the staff of McDermott, of course, connection to Hoiberg, and now here today. Probably the biggest piece of the news, and I'm sure something you're getting asked a lot at Cyclone Alert with all the recruiting, his connection with Tyrese Hunter. He was Danielle Robinson, the lead recruiter for Hunter, if I read correctly, right?
Yes. So that's kind of where the continuity comes into play here. And I think the addition of Micah Byers, too, I know you didn't mention him by name, but I think that's a big one to get retained, too, just in terms of having continuity with the guys, because he does spend a lot of time on a day-to-day basis with a lot of the players. So having him stick around is really important for keeping some of the important guys that are on the roster right now, like Xavier Foster, keeping them around. Now, when it comes to Tyrese Hunter, that's an interesting situation because he's someone that if he were to choose to look elsewhere, he would have a lot of suitors. And when I say a lot, I mean like a lot. Tech jumped in on him late.
Wow.
He was someone that would have, just a lot of people would be looking at him. Now, the question is, you know, of course, T.J. Altenberger had the Zoom call with him on Friday. It sounds like things went well with the Zoom call, but now we're kind of in a wait-and-see point with it where, I think Tyrese is talking with a lot of the people around him and trying to get the best advice possible for what's best for his career. And right now, I don't know if there's a specific timetable for when he is going to make that decision. I couldn't for certain give you it's going to be this week, it's going to be next week. I think it's one of those things where he's going to have to kind of feel this out and see how maybe things play out and see what is in his best interest. Because, obviously I think Iowa State fans would love to have him on campus, but I think you also have to kind of respect, what he wants to do, which we don't know yet. So I think it will be interesting to see what maybe he ends up deciding to do. Because if he does stay with Iowa State, that's a really big win for T.J. Altenberger right off the bat.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I thought, that both Milwaukee guys are from the immediate area. I thought that would go a long way, T.J. from there. And Robinson, as you mentioned, sticking around, the continuity there. So I know you said that there's no decision, but does it sound like maybe April? Don't you think we would know something by April? Maybe, timetable wise, give us kind of the parameters, do you think?
Yeah, I would say probably a month, because I think at that point you're looking at whenever the next signing period opens. It would be in that first or second week of April. So I would probably say, within the next month, just because at that point, then you're really kind of pushing the limit in terms of, who's going to be looking for spots. Now, the coaching carousel is going to be very interesting to see kind of how things play out. You've seen Minnesota, a lot of guys have entered the transfer portal from there.
Yep.
And so we'll see kind of, what recruits pop up, what, scholarships pop up at certain schools. And I think to some degree, this could be not a wait and see game with Tyrese Hunter, but where he might just wait a little bit just to see how things kind of play out across the country a little bit. Because there is so much that's uncertain right now in terms of head coaching positions across the country, who's going to the NBA, who's staying, who's going. A lot of that stuff. So, I would probably say, I don't think this week, I think that would probably be too soon. But I think once we get maybe past that 2 week mark, I think we'll probably be in a decision watch, if you will.
Interesting. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports. So we know Tyler Harris is in the transfer portal. Donaldson Dubar has now made it clear that he's also going to be part of it. What about, is that where it's going to end? Do you anticipate, are you hearing any murmurs out there that maybe those aren't the last to enter the transfer portal from last year's roster?
Yeah, I don't think those will be the last two. I think there's probably going to be some more. We'll see maybe this week, maybe next week. But yeah, I'm definitely expecting some more. And I think maybe the next week will tell us a lot about what T.J. Altenberger thinks of the roster and what the prospects look like for 2021, 2022. Because I think some decisions we could see could end up kind of giving us a barometer for what success should be next season. And I think we'll let the guys make their own decisions and kind of all that stuff. But I think this could be a really important week, 10 days, in terms of seeing what that next year's roster could look like and what the expectations should be. Because, Jamie Pollard has made it a point that it's going to be a multi-year rebuild. And I think I was honestly of the opinion that, if you kept guys like Rasir Bolton, Blake Hinson, you get Tyrese Hunter, if Xavier Foster has a really good summer, all of a sudden you're kind of looking at a halfway decent rotation to start the season if you're looking to win games right off the bat. Now, I think there's another avenue you could take where you want to say, hey, let's really clean house. Let's try and establish this culture in year one instead of trying to maybe hedge your bet a little bit and win some games in year one while also trying to establish the culture. So, you know, I think this is a really important week for us, kind of understanding how T.J. Otzelberger thinks about this roster and what maybe the expectations should be for next season.
So you guys are 24/7, Michael. It's incredible how much of the transfer portal that you have and that you know about. I saw Travis Brandon, one of your national analysts. I had the number today, 733 people going into the day. We're already in the portal. If you can go a little inside baseball here, how does it work for you guys at 24/7 and how seemingly you guys are always breaking the news and know just how many people are inside the portal?
Yeah, of course, I think it starts off with, you know, good sources and that stuff, but we do have the database where we were able to, with all of our player profiles that we create when these guys are recruits, to where when they get to the schools, we mark them for these new schools, and when they enter the transfer portal, we're able to mark them as entered the portal. Mm-hmm. So if you go on our website, we've got a really cool tab where you can search through the portal yourselves. If you're into transfers, I really encourage you to go have some fun with it. You know, you can really look and see what, you know, what schools have a lot of transfers. You can see what schools have very few transfers. You can see the schools that have picked up the most transfers from the portal so far. You know, we've got a lot of cool stuff that we're able to do because we have kind of the player database that starts off with the recruiting aspect of things. So yeah, right now, you know, the names are really going up, and it's crazy that we're almost kind of we're approaching double the names at this point that there were at this point last season. So it's really cool what we're able to do with, you know, all the player profiles and all of our big database.
Got to push you a little bit, and I'm not asking any names, but you sound like they're probably, you would be surprised if there's not one or two more. Xavier Foster, is there any buzz there? Because obviously they want to keep him. It was so disappointing that his season ended the way it did. He could have gained valuable minutes down the stretch playing in the month of February in the Big 12. Wouldn't have made a difference record-wise in a likelihood, but for his career would have been a huge, huge a step forward. Not asking to name names other than the fact, is there any murmurs out there about Foster?
You know, that's not one that I've heard.
Good.
And I think that that's a good sign, I think, for Iowa State fans, that I think it seems like right now, I emphasize that right now things can change very quickly, especially when things are so uncertain as they are right now with everyone kind of getting adjusted to a new head coach. But no, Xavier Foster is not one of the ones that I would be very shocked right now is what I'll say. If you were to enter the transfer portal this week, let's say, just purely speculative, I would be very surprised if that were to happen. So I don't think he's one that's probably on his way out.
Good news certainly there for Cyclone fans and a guy that showed upside in his limited minutes out on the hardwood. So we're talking a lot about transfers. We're talking about that market and everything that goes into it. It's a wild time. But I do want to go to away from Iowa State a moment to your alma mater and Kansas. Watching that clubbing last night. Yeesh. Boy, for how much good basketball you've
seen. What was the line, Trent? Was it two?
We had 1.5, 2. Jeez. Yeah, is what it went off.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched a lot of great basketball in your life as a Jayhawk fan and an alum. That one had to be difficult to swallow last night.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, I was thinking, I was talking about this with some of my other friends about, you know, the Kansas losses in the NCAA tournament. And the last three losses have been really bad. You know, you've got the one yesterday against USC. You've got the one against Auburn 2 years ago. And then, of course, Villanova in the Final Four where they got smacked in that game, too. So it seems like, you know, as of late, Kansas just, when they're going out of the NCAA tournament, they seem to get smacked. But I think that this Kansas team was not necessarily one of the great ones. I think anyone that watched a lot of Big 12 basketball this season could tell that this was not a great Kansas team. You know, good players, but maybe not necessarily the most cohesive fit. But yeah, that was not a lot of fun to watch last night. But I guess also, you know, kind of getting used to it with how kind of the NCAA tournament exits have gone the last three tournaments.
Mm. Back to Iowa State. Bobby Lutz resigned the same day that T.J. Otzelberger was named. A lot of folks immediately connecting the dots. Of course, Lutz has an Iowa State history there. We're also hearing a name. Tim Buckley is a name to watch that T.J. had at UNLV. And he's been around. In fact, he was at Iowa with Alford in Alford's final year here briefly. Been around a lot. He's in his 50s. He's that veteran coach that, you know, coaches like to have as a sounding board that's been, you know, in a lot of gyms and a lot of games in his career. Anything on Lutz, and are you hearing anything on Tim Buckley?
No, I've not heard a ton on Lutz. I think right now at this point I'd be not surprised, but I don't think that's necessarily the most likely option. Buckley is an interesting one because I think he also has a lot of experience kind of in the Midwest with Tom Crean working for him on the Indiana staff. And it certainly seems like, you know, with Robinson staying around, of course, you know, T.J. Otzelberger has plenty of Midwest connections. be really interesting to see kind of how the rest of the staff rounds out if they really do kind of go all in on this Midwestern connections thing where, you know, you compare it to the Steve Prohm era where it was some Midwest, some South, you know, kind of really those two areas where if you hire, let's say, Tim Buckley to go with, you know, your Robinson plus TJ, you know, that's a really pretty strong start to a staff in terms of the Midwestern connections and an ability to recruit. So we've got the first two names, you know, today with Byers and Robinson. Seems like we might be able to hear some more names later this week. There could be some more announcements, but not 100% certain on that right now.
Yeah, I watched Tim Buckley. That seems to have some legs. We'll see where it goes. Michael, you're good at this. We appreciate what you do for us. When will you, what kind of access, I mean, I'm guessing it'll be all Zoom, but when spring football rolls around, you guys will be all over it at CycloneAlert.com. And that's April 1st, is that right?
Yeah, they haven't given a specific date with an announcement yet, but when we got to talk to Matt Campbell in early March, he was kind of saying the goal was to kind of start in that first week of April to where you've got kind of your 4 weeks of spring ball. It ends in May. The guys can go home for a month in May and then kind of come back and ready to hit the ground running for summer stuff when June comes around. But yeah, so it seems like kind of that April 1st-ish date is probably the target right now.
We will rely on you to help us out as we make our way through the month of April in spring football. Michael, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Definitely. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Good to talk to you. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Did you find him?
Yes.
He's good. He's really good.
Does a good job of it.
I like it. Young kid.
And even Cyclone fans, yes, the Jayhawks stink. We're working it out of him, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, that'd be tough to watch. Well, we know what it was like. Yeah. You Hawkeye fans.
Went through it just a few years earlier. Are we going to get good Sweet 16 games? Because you look at the overall bracket now.
Okay, let me get it in front of me. All right, go ahead.
So you got still 3-1s around, right?
Yep.
There's been so much to all these upsets. Mm-hmm. And
although Michigan, they didn't. They moved on. But, boy, that was like 76 apiece at one point.
Hair on fire, right?
Uh-huh.
In order to get to that spot. Still got a number two that's incredibly fun to watch in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. They crushed Maryland yesterday. I thought that would be a closer game.
You have Arkansas, another Musselman who's a goober. He's taking a shirt off and jumping on top of scores tables. Yeah. And an Arkansas program that, for me, and my generation, that was a power program for a long time. Yeah. And finally back in the Sweet 16. And then you get the upstart.
90s.
It feels like it is the kind of the perfect marriage of, all right, you still got heavyweights in here. Yes, there's no Kentucky Duke. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you still got some heavyweights. And you get the Oral Roberts story.
Mm-hmm.
And even get a double-digit seed that's UCLA. That's won the most championships ever.
Right. Another one on the other side of the bracket. Buddy Buckets and his pops.
It feels like kind of that perfect mix of everything that you want.
Uh-huh.
Now let's just get some good games.
Let's get
a buzzer beater.
I'm with you. We've got some time to talk about that. I mean, Loyola Chicago, what a great story, right?
The favorite in the Midwest? They'd be my betting favorite. If I was given a free play, that's probably where I would throw my money behind.
Can Syracuse beat Houston?
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Oregon State's tough, but
Rutgers had Houston beat.
I know they did, Trent. They cost themselves the game. They went into a slowdown. They only had a 3-point lead.
Yeah. That one might be the biggest stinger of the Big Ten.
Uh-huh. They could have advanced. I agree with you.
You know, the thing that really does stink for Iowa and the buildup that you get here, the conversation, Oregon State hadn't won a tournament game since 82. Mm. And now with these extra 2 days, also the buildup that's going to be talking about your program. Iowa basketball was talked about on a national scale this whole year.
Yep.
But people don't nationally pay attention to college basketball until this time. And you miss that opportunity to spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
People know Luka Garza, but to really know the kind of guy he was and the kind of person that he is, and you don't get that. That, I think, more than anything, really stings what could have been for this program.
Yeah, you know, you planted this. I never even gave this a thought when I watched the end of the game. I feel bad for Bohannon the way it ended.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be something looking back where, kind of like Dicka says, Walter Payton, I should have got him a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
Where Fran is going to say, I should have given that curtain call to Bohannon. He deserved it. All-time career leader in assists and three-pointers in the program.
That's secondary to what he did missing the free throw.
Missing the free throw. All those things. Yeah. The relationship he built with the Street family.
Right.
and going after the NCAA.
He loved it. Took the, what did he take, the floor mat or
yes,
something?
Yes, yep, yeah. To begin with. And didn't get that. Yeah. In that game.
I'm with you, Trent. I never even thought about it till you mentioned it here this morning. We will take a timeout. But before we do that, we are going to do this. There's only, again, this happens four times a day, and it's only here for a limited time. KXNO wants to help double your stimulus. Win $1,400 right now by texting the keyword CHECK to 200-200. That's CHECK to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
CHECK to 200-200. Murph and Andy have one in the 2 o'clock hour. The Fanatics in the 4 o'clock hour. Morning Rush does theirs in the early portion of their program in the 6 o'clock hour. CJ Moore, college basketball from a national perspective. He writes at The Athletic. He joins us next. Miller and Condon are here until noon on 1460 KXNO and
10KXNO.
As our country climbs out of its slowdown, Wolf Construction chooses to look at the positive trends and face the new challenges head-on. But to face these challenges, we need help. Wolf Construction is searching for framing and trim carpenters of all experience levels. If you have a positive attitude, a good work ethic, and if you want an opportunity with a company that offers great pay and benefits, we'd love to have you apply. Click the Now Hiring button at wolfconstruction.net to get started. Be a part of something.
Is KXNO.
The tournament is in full swing and the action hasn't disappointed. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers at the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple.
Turning $1 into $100 is 100 to 1 odds. I can even do that math. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100. All it takes, a $1 bet, and that team winning their next game.
Don't worry if college basketball isn't for you. DraftKings Sportsbook has 100-to-1 odds on select fighters for this weekend's UFC 260.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code KXNO when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. If the college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the victory, that's code KXNO for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/Sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call
84 by NHTSA.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. Just past 11:30 on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Well, we mined The Athletic in hour number one for our friend Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Of course, covers Iowa. Let's go right back to that wonderful resource that The Athletic is. They've got a terrific special going on. 6 months, $1 a month. It's a terrific, terrific. In fact, I think it's the future of sports journalism, where we will go to read about our favorite teams and favorite sports. And CJ Moore is with us. CJ, Trent Condon, Ken Miller, thank you for coming on. How are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing well. Appreciate you coming on. A lot of ground to cover with you. The bracket, we're down to 16, as we know. I don't think that necessarily it's the cakewalk for Gonzaga that I anticipated that it was going to be once we got to the Sweet 16. All of a sudden, with the way the Pac-12 has reared its head, and knowing that either USC or Oregon awaits, assuming they get by Creighton, I think the left side of the bracket's tougher than the right, CJ.
Yeah, you know, I thought initially that bottom right where Illinois was probably the toughest bracket, and it's kind of gotten or toughest region. It's kind of gotten weird over there, but I don't with the way USC and Oregon are playing, I definitely think those teams are better than anticipated. You know, it's going to take a team that's really athletic and really skilled to beat the Zags, and I think USC, you know, has a special talent in Evan Mobley, and if his brother plays like that, that could be a dangerous matchup for the Zags. Now, I will say, I watched USC a handful of times this year. It never looked like that. And the other Mobley brother, Isaiah, he never looked like that. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, if they could repeat 90% of that performance against Gonzaga, they'd have a shot.
CJ, two of the teams that I had crossed out of any kind of advancement were the two 5 seeds that are here. Villanova, after the injury to Gillespie, I think maybe I shouldn't be betting against Jay Wright is what I'm learning here, even without that. But then Creighton, and we see it here in the Midwest, and that program, what they went through, still made the run to the championship game and then got blown out by Georgetown. Those two 5 seeds, pretty big surprises to me. How about you?
I actually had Creighton going this far. I think Creighton coming into this year was like a top 10 team, maybe underperformed just a little bit of expectations, but I still think that's a really good roster and such a good team offensively that they can jump up and get a elite team on the right night. Cause not many teams can spread it and shoot it like the Jays can. So, that's also kind of a dangerous matchup for Gonzaga because the Zags aren't elite defensively, and that Creighton can really score it. So we'll see there. But obviously, I expect Gonzaga to win that game. And with Villanova, I mean, like you said, Jay Wright's amazing, one of the best coach teams in college basketball every year. Just so disciplined. Colin Gillespie was a really, really big part, of that team, but they've yet to play a single-digit seed. So it was two impressive wins, and the way they beat North Texas was impressive. But I think, without Colin Gillespie, it's going to be really, really hard to match up against Baylor.
C.J. Moore covers college basketball at The Athletic. He's with Miller and Condon. C.J., Porter Moser is he's on the cusp of getting back to the Final Four again. He had opportunities, you would have to think. I believe he's going to have to say no again because those opportunities are going to come his way. What's the likelihood of Moser moving on, or does this seem like he's just a fit in Chicago? He just likes it there and wants to stay. Does he strike you as that kind of coach?
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. I think he's in a situation where he can be really, really patient and, go to a situation that he really likes. If Marquette's that, or heck, if Indiana comes after him, maybe he would be, tempted to go to those places. The thing is, if Loyola Chicago hadn't won this conference tournament, it would have still gotten in the tournament, but it would have just barely gotten in. Right. And that's what's kind of wild. That's why he might leave, just because, you got to have an incredible season even to make the NCAA tournament. And that's why I could see him maybe being tempted to leave. But, that dude can coach. He is tremendous with X's and O's. He's a tremendous defensive coach. He's got energy for days. I always love talking to him. I got to know him a little better this summer doing Zooms with him and some of his coaching buddies, where they just trade film and trade ideas. And it was really, really always fun to listen to him talk about basketball. And I got an even bigger respect for him than I had before. And obviously everybody is seeing how good a coach he is.
My favorite and I think maybe most intriguing Sweet 16 matchup is Florida State-Michigan. I think he can go a lot of different directions on that. Feels like Michigan getting more and more comfortable playing without Livers, and you saw that progress last night in the victory and the comeback against LSU. Your thoughts on that game and Leonard Hamilton, boy, it just feels like he finds a bunch of 6'5 to 6'9 guys and just throws them out there.
Always the tallest team in college basketball, seems like they are again this year. And they're smaller than they were last year. So, Leonard Hamilton is probably one of the more underrated coaches out there, just the consistency he's had and been doing it for a long time. But, Michigan's win last night was impressive. LSU has one of the more talented rosters around. Cam Thomas is an incredible, incredible talent. You're going to see that. He's going to be a high draft pick. But that was an impressive response from Michigan last night when LSU kind of had him on the ropes. And, I still wish they could get Isaiah Livers back because I think the best teams in college basketball these days have a guy at the four spot that's more like a wing. I mean, you guys have seen it at Iowa State when they've had their best teams. It's just trended that direction. And they're playing a more traditional lineup with Brandon Johns out there at the four and Livers not out there. So I hope they're able to get him back because their team is better without him, but there's still some really, really good pieces left. And, you know, they definitely have enough to get to the Final Four without him. But you'd love to see him get back. Who knows, though, with that, you know, a foot injury. That's tough.
I do want to pick your brain on Syracuse-Houston, but since you mentioned Iowa State, just your thoughts on T.J. Otzelberger, Jamie Pollard naming him to succeed Steve Prohm.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because of his familiarity with the program. The big thing is he's going to have to recruit. He's going to have to get some dudes. Mm-hmm. And I think the most excitement Iowa State fans should have is you can go and look at the class he had coming in at UNLV, and it was the best class in that league. It was a top 20 class in all of college basketball. So, you know, that gives you some hope that he can recruit and get some players in there and do it on a routine basis. I think Steve is a good coach. I think roster management ended up kind of being a problem and that they, you know, had some really down years and probably had some guys leave before they anticipated. So, It's a big boy league he's coming into, and the coaches in this league are pretty incredible. So it's going to be a challenging job, but I understand the hire for sure.
Syracuse-Houston, I personally love the Boeheim story. I mean, what an opportunity to coach your son and the impact your son has on the basketball team. Why can't they beat Houston?
Why can't they beat? I mean, they could beat Houston the way they're shooting the basketball. Mm-hmm. I will say that I think Syracuse is easier to face if you get them in the first round, the Sweet 16, or the Final Four.
It's time
meaning
to prepare.
You get basically a week to prepare for that zone because it's something you don't see very often.
Great point.
I will say that Houston has had some success and experience facing maybe not the identical zone, but some similar concepts the last couple of years against Tulsa in their league. So they at least have, you know, some prep going in that. And Kelvin Sampson is one of the best coaches and brains in all of college basketball. And, you know, they'll draw up some stuff to attack it, but you got to make perimeter shots. And, you know, maybe they got their bad shooting game out of them in this past round, but definitely absolutely Syracuse has a shot. Especially the way Buddy Boeheim's going.
CJ Moore joining us from The Athletic. CJ, you've been on the college beat for a long time, and you've been doing it from Kansas for a lot of those years. Fill us in on the Jayhawks. Not last night, they got blown out. That happens. But the future of the program, I think certainly Iowa State fans and Big 12 fans around here want to know, when you look into your crystal ball, what do you see of the future of Kansas basketball?
Oh, I mean, it's Kansas basketball, so I think it's going to be fine. What KU needs is to find out what its penalty is.
Yep.
Because I think that's hurt them, Bill Self in recruiting, just because, you know, like a guy like Matthew Hurt at Duke, is a guy he felt like he probably would have landed if not for, you know, the potential NCAA tournament ban and whatnot. So they need to get their penalty and face it and go get through that, get to the other side of it. Next year, if they can land like a good point guard, I think it'll still be a solid team, but the talent level is just not what it's been in the past. And a big part of that is what they're going through with the NCAA. But once they get through that, I anticipate, you know, he's going to start getting some dudes again.
Couple more minutes with CJ Moore. CJ, yesterday, Oregon's guards outscored Iowa's guards 63-0. I don't think I've ever seen that in a box score ever, but that's what it was. 63-0, just crazy. So when you look back at Iowa and the way that it ended, you know, with the regular season, they were top five, top 10 all year long. We felt as a state that this was an opportunity here to certainly get to the Sweet 16 and exercise that demon. How would you summarize Iowa's season?
I think it was a pretty good year. I mean, not excellent, but pretty good. Like, you know, the NCAA tournament's fickle, and you get the wrong matchup, and you maybe don't make it as far as you should have. I think Iowa's not just a top 32 team. Like, that's a top 15, maybe even top 10 team in college basketball. And Oregon is like Syracuse, a very difficult matchup on the second, second round or Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament because they, you know, oftentimes are Dane Altman switching up defenses, running his matchup zone. It's just tough to prep for. And, you know, Oregon caught fire. So I don't think you completely judge it based off that game or based off what happened in the tournament. I think you judge the whole picture. And, you know, an incredible offensive team. Obviously, that program got a little better defensively near the end, but you saw when they played some real dudes. Mm. Like, it's, the defense is still not great.
Step behind, no doubt about it. CJ, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it again. The Athletic has a terrific special. $1 a month for the first 6 months. It's not just basketball, NFL. It's everything. If you're a fan of a professional team, a college basketball team, football team, you will find your team chronicled at The Athletic. CJ, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Yeah, good to talk to you. CJ Moore from The Athletic, talking college basketball. Good stuff out of CJ.
It's a good one.
Yep. Good one.
And part of the Rolodex that need to open up a little bit more during basketball season.
I don't think since you and I have been working together, I think that's a first.
You know, and you know my love of college basketball, and I've had so many different people, and need to open it up a little bit more every once in a while. We love Doster. We love Norlander. Yep. We get those guys, and hopefully you're going to have both those guys in the next day or two. But, yeah, there's a lot of great basketball scribes out there. And even when we get to the summertime and we're always looking for something, hit up those people a little bit more and see what the off-season storylines are. We'll do a better job of that.
Okay.
Sound good?
I'll hold you to it.
But, of course, we'll be talking baseball throughout the summer.
Yes, we will. Opening day is a week from Thursday.
A week from Thursday. Your Blue Jays are going to be...
Good-er.
Right?
My Blue Jays are going to be in the hunt for the wild card.
With the Cubs on the surface looking like they're going to be down from certainly where they've been the last half decade plus. You love watching the Cubs, though.
I do. Well, because you have to. Because that moves the needle, baseball needle in the market.
If they're on their way to a 75-win season.
See, I think they're going to be better than that.
You do.
Okay. I mean, a pitching staff obviously worries you, right?
Yeah.
There's Jake Arrieta's got huge pressure on him to. We know the professor's going to be fine. The back end, we don't know. Arrieta has to perform. Kimbrel. It kind of takes you back to the Rod Beck era.
Yeah.
Right? Shoot, they're on fire. I think that they're going to be, they're in the right division.
They are.
I like Milwaukee and I like the Cardinals, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cubs can win 83.
Yes, they can. And that very well could be good enough to get into the playoffs. But if it isn't hitting that way, and it's July and they're 10 games under 500.
Yeah.
A lot more Blue Jays, I'm going to guess, for you.
Yes. Yes.
A lot more Cardinals.
Right? I just don't like the broadcast.
McLaughlin's not your guy.
I don't know why. He's okay.
He's very milquetoast.
Yes.
Very just.
You know what I'm going to watch more this year? By the way, I just killed for saying Gooder. Text. I'm going to watch more White Sox because Benetti's so gifted.
He's really good.
Him and Stone are so good.
It's a really good team.
Mm-hmm. I like Bremer. I like the twin. Now, will they settle on an analyst?
They have it full time.
They have not, so they're going to jump around. Okay.
Yes.
Because I don't. Depends who it is.
Yeah, Morneau's okay.
He's okay. I miss Blylevin.
Yeah, I was ready.
The continuity. I miss those two.
That's a big part of it too. If they got a little more Jack Morris, I like Jack.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good one.
Yeah, he's okay.
Boy, but you're probably only going to get him for 15 games.
Right.
You know,
is that just that he just doesn't want to do it?
I think so. On a full-time basis. Yeah. That's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot of travel.
Mm-hmm. Because he lives in where? Montana? Mm-hmm. Or Wyoming? One of those
something
two,
like
I think.
That, yeah. Part of the Big West. He's right. Out there.
Boy, he was a hell of a player, Trent. Good
Nine
God.
Days away from baseball, huh?
Let the bells ring out and the banners fly, and we'll take our final time out and come back and wrap up the program. You know there's no basketball tonight.
Oh, you'd be wrong about that. Not
what?
Only- Well,
the NIT's Thursday.
It is.
So what are you betting?
I got the CBI.
Of course you do.
The CBI, and we got a big one. The Hatters of Stetson taking on Coastal Carolina. Bellarmine, yes, that's a D1 program. They're playing today. There's always things. And DraftKings, they have lines for all the women's games, too. And there's a lot of them again today. Oh, I'll be firing. Don't you worry.
So you'd like a game in the CBI?
I like both of them.
You like both of them. Well, we'll pick your
Some
brain.
Some people might say it's a sickness.
No, a lot of people, Trent.
Oh.
It's 1460 KXNO and 106.
With Charmin,
Trent Condon here again for the Urology Center of Iowa. Well, the big bracket is here, but that doesn't mean you can't find sports on TV to watch after your vasectomy. We got baseball's opening day right around the corner. How about if you're a golf fan, that beautiful tournament in Augusta, and the Urology Center of Iowa is taking appointments right now for vasectomies. Give them a call, 515-400-3550, or schedule online at iowauro.com. Vasectomies with the Urology Center of Iowa. And tell them you heard it on KXNO.
Just let this play. See you tomorrow.
Love it, don't you?
I really do. All right, final couple of minutes here. Miller and Condon. All right, TC. You haven't bet, well, I shouldn't say that. You probably have bet these schools.
Uh-huh.
Who do you like?
I have three picks today. I'm going to throw all three of them out because, I'll be honest, I do not have the strongest of feelings. Yesterday, my best bet, the over in the Iowa-Oregon game, coasted in.
Mm-hmm.
Liked USC. I also had some losers on the other side, including Ohio, the Bobcats.
Shut up for a while. And we're going to have Mr. Bobcat on tomorrow, by the way.
Bill Bender.
Bill Bender joins us, yep.
Trying to kind of dig out of that one and just never could get back over the hump against Creighton. So there's two CBI games. And you're right. Yes, I have bet on these teams. The first one, Coastal Carolina, laying 6.5. I'm going to lay the points against Stetson. Bet on
They're
Stetson.
They're a football school, Trent.
They are. The Chanticleers. Going to lay the number with them. And then Bellarmine. And I've been joking about them. They're getting 5 against
I've never heard of them.
They are in their first year transitioning into D1. And they're pretty good offensively. They got a couple of spots that metrics like them. That's why I bet them a couple of times this year. So I'm going to jump back aboard with the Knights from Bellarmine once again and grab the 5 with the second. And finally, Iowa today in the women's tournament.
Yep.
They play Kentucky. It's 4-5 game, toss-up game.
What time? Middle of the afternoon, right?
Yep. And this, from what I saw Kentucky and have seen of Kentucky this year, they're really athletic, really quick in the guards, and Iowa defensively, much like the men, that's a place where they really struggle here. Kentucky's plus 150 on the money line. DraftKings only has money lines for the women's tournament, but you can bet on it. I'm going to do just that. Give me Kentucky to knock off the Hawkeyes in the women's tournament for my third pick of the day.
All right, that segment brought to you by our friends at 1-800-BETS-OFF. 1-800-BETS-OFF.
What, did you say the problem?
No, not at all. David Kaplan's with us tomorrow. It's Wednesday. Cappy joins us at 11:05. Look forward to that segment each and every week. Thank you, Centurion Stone of Iowa, for making that possible. Murph and Andy in at 1. The Fanatics at 3. The Fanatics have TJ Otzelberger today at 3:30 joining them. Of course, Morning Rush kicks it off tomorrow at 6. We're Miller and Condon weekdays 10 to noon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Global Direct Mail and Marketing is a local design and print shop that'll help you from start to finish. From design to printing and mailing it for you. From wedding invitations to birth announcements. No matter how big or small your project is, Global will work with you from creating a custom design to getting your project inserted into the mail. And Global can help your business grow with custom mailers designed to help you bring new customers through your doors. Call Craig at 515-282-3000. 282-3000. It's Global Direct.